It is jail time. Wait, no, not jail time. It's break jail time. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. We're talking about Sense8, season 2, episode 3, Obligate Mutualism. Stay tuned after that open because it's going to be so good.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What up, everybody? Yes. Guys, I can't put words together because this episode was so fucking good.
Oh,
I already
yes.
said it. I'm already throwing F-bombs because it was so good.
This is an explicit episode for
people.
Yes. We have feelings.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Oh my god. You guys, if you have no idea what the hell we're talking about, welcome to the Sense8 After Show. Please. You're on AfterBuzz TV. I am your host, Alexis Torres. You guys can find me all over social media at atorres890. Welcome to my cluster, who is beautiful, by the way.
Please.
I've got Joelle Monique over here.
Hey, y'all. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me every week at blackgirlnerd.com and all over the internet at Joelle Monique.
And Carrie Lane.
Hey, what's up? This is Carrie. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And I'm so excited to talk about this because I watch it. I'm like, guys, I need to talk about this episode.
She was texting / tweeting right after. She's like, have you seen the episode? What is happening?
These are my feels.
And we want to know what your feels are. We've got the live chat coming up over here, and everywhere.
All around.
If you're not live, you comment down below and we read it after.
Right in the downstairs. Yes. Or just send us tweets. We already said our Twitters and things like that. Because we want to know how you feel. That's what I said.
I love it. I like it.
I dig it.
And don't forget to hit us up on iTunes, SoundCloud. You guys can find us if you're watching. Watching later, if you're like, I don't know, we were doing this show, catch past episodes on there as well. Always a warning, I'm going to do this every episode. We talked about it last week with Carrie and I that we're only doing one episode at a time and we are not doing spoilers besides the episode that we are talking about
yep.
today.
Yes.
So we're only talking about episode 3.
Keep it clean, chat.
Yeah, seriously. And I have James with the magical fingers up doing the ones and twos. He will kick people out. I mean, he doesn't know what the spoilers are, but if we see them, we're going to kick you out. Sorry, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be real. We're all adults here.
Yes.
Get it together.
Hopefully.
It sure takes effort to restrain yourself and not click the next
episode. It took everything in my power not to be like, and next.
I know. Watching it with a family member.
Yes.
I'm like, but why?
We have to do the things.
Yeah.
So, before we get into the nitty gritty of this, ladies, what do we think just overall of what the episode, your thoughts?
Holy shit.
She said it.
I was going to cry on a certain part.
I did cry.
I was like, no. Wait, what? And then after, okay, I need a breath. I need a moment.
I am good at keeping secrets, but I hate secrets.
Yeah.
And we got so many reveals this episode,
yes.
and it was lovely. I learned so many things
about
Sense8. The season is really answering questions,
yep.
which, of course, leads to more questions, and I love that.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, I do love that we got the Jonas Oprah of, like, you get exposition, you get exposition, everybody gets exposition. But at the same time, I was like, but I need more.
Jonas, please.
Also add a car in there. It was a really well-rounded episode. I don't know why I keep thinking the season's ending.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh.
We just started up.
But that's also what I'm thinking, is that the fact that they're already throwing out the information early. Because I didn't know if they were going to make
great.
Us wait like
no,
another
it's
like
so nice.
Five episodes and then give us exposition.
Please no.
Thank God. So, you guys know the drill. We go by Sense8. So, we're going to start with Leto because he's technically on the lower part of the food chain, at least story-wise. Leto got to go to a meeting.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we were feeling better because we had our victory. Everybody's feeling a little light on their feet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Leto walked into, agent. And
I'll say agent
like,
and
yeah.
manager.
Yeah, manager. His team.
PR.
So his team to talk about the next thing. And, of course, he was just raring to go. And we found out that the studio pulled out. Because of a morale clause.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that, if you thought this was going to start happening for him.
Oh, it happened immediately. When we saw the redo of the poster, I was like, well, that's it for Leto's career here in Mexico. Like, he'll need to explore other options, because we know Leto's a great actor, and he's fun, and he's handsome as hell. But he can do anything, but I just don't think it's going to happen if it does happen for him here, it's going to be a long road of him trying to change a lot of minds.
Right.
It's going to be
a lot
of work.
So, and we also, you know, got to see that they gave him pretty much a good amount of scripts.
There was a lot of options.
Did.
I'm like, dude, be happy you have a lot of those. There are plenty of people with good careers.
Did anyone else think
if
those options came in before or after the scandal? Because if they came in before the scandal, it means nothing.
So that was going to be my question. So these are my two options that I think that, like, my brain was seeing when we saw that stack. It's either A, these came before he came out, and these are all just going to be, you know, whisked away from him.
Not necessarily at all, but...
Yeah, but most of them, I would say.
Yeah,
agreed. Or that these are all stuff that they're trying to put him into, like a snazzy gay character in movies could now.
Oh, that would be awful. To
you see what
to
I mean?
Yeah, no, I could totally see that happening. Yeah,
so I'm a little worried, because it seemed like, I don't remember these dudes' names, and I know that I'm getting shit for that, but, like, I don't remember.
There are a lot of characters, and we host a lot of shows. I'm like, sorry.
He also doesn't really say their names.
Exactly.
He's just like, team, what's up, team?
Yeah, so our male manager, pretty much, he seems like he's still into it, like he wants to give him jobs. Kind of. Hold on. I'm getting there. I'm still speculating. But our lady friend here, or lady agent, whatever the hell you want to call her, she seems like she's not into it. And I don't know. I don't know if that means that his career is going to be going through some catastrophic change from her. Like, maybe she's trying to, like... you know, kind of throw him, you know, out the window, kind of, or
she just doesn't care. Career, because financially, at this point in time, she needs him, and it would be easy to drop him.
Right.
So my guess is they think that there might be something that they can milk, but I both see them both, like, doing that slow back away thing.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I see more like
he
that.
Here's some scripts that you can read. We don't have any suggestions. We did not take the time to read them.
Yep.
You'll be doing most of your own legwork from now on, but we're here because you're still a name, and in case you get a lot of, you know... Yeah. If you get a big offer, I still get 10% of that.
The Michaela in the chat room said, I immediately assumed they were all crappy or gay roles.
Correct. And that's how I felt, too.
And then this, nice. Lady is a manager, and then the guy was the main agent. Thank you. Cool. Good to know.
I just wish I knew their names. But, yeah, so I'm on kind of like thin ice with the two of them. Mm-hmm. I don't really know where their loyalties lie in that one. So I guess we'll see what happens. But the cool thing is, Hernando and Lito are looking for a new place to live because obviously they have nowhere to go.
Yep.
I didn't understand at first the cars going down because I was like, where is this apartment? Mm-hmm. How is the structure? I was very confused by that. And I love that Lito was just not into it.
I think, was it the idea that just be like constant noise of you're right in the basement that you always see the cars go by?
Well, I mean, they already have a paparazzi issue to be that cars and then the bedroom is here. Or
got
is it. Like,
okay, I thought it was noise.
From there.
Yeah, or just the fact that your view from your bedroom is just a garage.
Yeah. So. Well, then if it's running right underneath you all night, if there's horns honking and stuff, that's just not cool.
Yeah, that's not cool. So it made sense. And of course, the next place that we saw was gorgeous.
And of course, the landlady was just kind of biatchy.
Well, I didn't know if she was like... At first, I thought she might be like anti-gay and was like, you cannot stay here. Or if she... It could have been just a complete waste of time. Like, you told me you can't afford this place. I don't want to waste my time showing it to you when I'm about to show it to people who can't afford it. Like, it's like a long... Like, I could be doing other things. It's like
it looked like she was like, I have places to be and not waste my time on you three, whatever the three you are. But I love that they both love the place. And Danny comes running in there like, you see the tub? It can fit all of us. I mean, it doesn't have to fit all of us. I just meant... I love it. And I love that she, you know, understands. It's like, oh, I'm not really, like, part of it, but I'm, like, part of it at the same time.
She's like an emotional bridge for their relationship.
It's adorable, and I love it. And I love that they sat there and looked at her, and especially with the framing, with her being in the middle, they were just like, no, I think this is it. And I did love the conversation between Hernando and Lito, where he was like, oh, you know what, I could have been a curator, I could have been making three times of what I had, but I love also that Lito was like, no, you're doing what you love, I don't care if you're poor as shit, we will make it work. And I was just like, you guys are just the cutest.
Doing what you love and I'm doing what I love and we love this apartment, then the math must add up. I was like, okay,
well, hold on.
Relationship goals.
Love does not pay for apartments, just saying. As for people who live in LA, my fiance and I would love to live in some beautiful place near the Grove. It's not happening.
It's so great that their threesome works in terms of, like, she understands their space. They're okay with her being there. Yeah. Like, they're not bothered. It's like, oh, it's just so happy.
Well,
it's
and
so
she also nice. Said, like, they were really giving her safe harbor for a long time.
Of
and
course.
It's lovely that her first thought is like, oh, I can chip in now. Like, I can help. We can afford this. I know your budget's not a problem. Because for a while... Early on in season one, I thought that Danny was kind of just like a hanger-on.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, oh, these guys have money, and I can just kind of hang out. And I'll be
at
like,
first,
the fun gay gal pal, but, like, I like what they've turned her into. And then not just a support for each of them individually, but also for their relationship.
Yep.
And the fact that now she's like, no, I'm fully in this. Like, for me in my head, when money is given, like, oh, like, you're committed now.
No.
Well, she also offered the safe harbor at the beginning, too.
Yeah, like, right. Yes. Which makes sense. And she's like, I can get rid of my apartment. But I love how she's like, but, I mean, that's totally up to you. I don't want to, you know, intrude. It was just really adorable. And I really loved that. It became like, no, if it can fit the three of us, it must be ours.
It's
and
a
I was
sign.
Like, Hernando, you're so cute. And just, I love it now. That's their new home that they can share together. And it's just, oh, so cute. So we can skip on to Cap, which is what I call Capheus, which his was very small. But it was very interesting because it was just like a little blip of just like throwing it in there. We see that there's a cart with a bunch of clean water that was coming through.
Yeah.
And apparently prices went up.
Yes.
Like because
of the election.
Yeah. So and the line that kind of threw up a red flag for me was like something's got to give. What do we think of this line? What do we think Cap's going
to do? That sounds like riots to me.
That calls like a call to action.
Yes.
For Capheus.
Capheus has certainly been our superhero.
Yeah.
Our Superman almost. Like in that same vein of like straight up Boy Scout, like people first, before himself even. And I like kind of the trajectory. He's got his Lois and Lane now, his reporter girlfriend, and she's gorgeous and amazing and stunning. Mm-hmm. And then, he's got his buzz in his job, and so now I feel like he can go into full Superman mode where he's just like working with both the bad guy, because he worked really well with the bad guys last time.
He did.
He was able to broker deals. He helped protect his girl. I'm excited to see what he does this time, although I think it'll be much more of a challenge, because instead of this kind of one-on-one relationship, I think it's going to be a lot of people coming to him with their hands out, like, we don't know what to do, we're angry, and people are about to incite violence.
Yes, which I think is, that's what I'm excited and worried about for him, because the fact that every time when he's like, I'm gonna be, you know, the Superman of this situation, or I guess the Van Damme of this situation, I have a bad feeling that his friend might not make it this end of the season.
No!
I don't want him to die, guys. But think about it. It's plot driven.
It is.
Especially with how they set it up. Something's gotta give. Because of elections, and like, there's gonna be riots. Someone's gonna get hurt. Can't be Cap. We already tried to get rid of his mother at one point, remember?
Yeah.
We can't do it. There has to be one. There can only be one. And I don't want it to happen. I don't. But I can see it.
Yeah. I can definitely see it happening.
Especially because his friend is getting a lot of camera time.
He's getting more screen time for sure.
Which is great, because I want to see his beautiful face.
He's so nice.
I love him.
He's like the great best friend. I love that our team has like a couple amazing teammates on the outside.
Yeah,
Bucky Barnes to his Cap.
Exactly. Yeah. But again, that's what worries me just a little bit, especially because, I mean...
Yeah, don't say anything, people. I like someone did a zipper face. Thank you.
No! See, I'm on to something.
Benji, I'm on to something.
Anyway, speaking of on to something or turning on something, let's talk about Wolfie. So, we left off with, we knew that Felix got the club.
Yeah, he did.
And we're like, okay, who's this mystery dude?
Yeah.
We still don't have a name,
King
do we?
Of the North.
That's all we need to know.
Is that all we're going to call him? Is just King of the North?
That's what he is.
He's the King of the North.
He's the King in the North.
He's the leader. I mean, I think they said his name. They said his name once when they drew up the map.
And I completely missed it.
And said, the King of the North. And then that's what they called him.
Yeah. So we'll just call him King of the North. So King of the North is enjoying some football, which is great.
Yes.
Especially because he's, like, running around the house.
Yes.
And then, you know, he invites them in. And, of course, they're having a little bit of drink. And then we get a beautiful pan shot of some heels and some legs. And then, holy shit.
Classic Russian beauty. What?
And also, you guys...
Not Russian.
Is she not
Neapolitan.
Russian?
Neapolitan.
What does that mean? I thought that was like a city thing.
It's Italy. It's in Italy, but the way I thought of it, it's like someone saying they're not American. They're Californian. So someone's Italian, they're Neapolitan.
Oh, that makes more sense. Okay.
Yeah,
because they said Italian, so I just assumed that she was Italian.
And then she's like, no, I'm Neapolitan. So there is a city... I'm sorry.
The way I understood it
was like, I've done that when I've been abroad. I'm not necessarily like, I'm American. I'm like, no, I'm Californian. There's a very specific difference. So
the way
she corrected it, that's how I interpreted it.
Right, she's very proud of where she comes from.
I love it.
Which makes sense. So, yes. I put her name down, but I know I'm probably going to butcher it. It's, where is it?
Someone said
Lila Ficini.
Yeah. Well, someone said the King of the North, Marvin, says it's Fouche. F-U-C-H-S.
Oh, interesting.
All right.
Yeah, they said Italian. A name, like, once. And then she's Italian as in country, but she specifies a city.
She does. Which makes, again, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I get it. But, yeah, so Lelia, or, I don't know how to specifically
Naples,
say her name.
Yes.
Yeah,
Naples, yes. Naples. Thank you,
That
Cameron.
Makes more sense.
Yeah.
They're very proud of being from Naples. I have an aunt from there. she talks about it all the time. But, anyway, so we get our beautiful redhead, which you guys, you guys know my weaknesses for redheads. It's bad.
Ah.
It's bad. Oh, yeah, there it is. I don't know how to pronounce it, y'all.
Lila?
Lila? And so, whatever. So, our beautiful redhead is just, all into it. And so, she goes to go, I don't even remember what
she's
went to
get. She's getting
papers. Yes.
The paperwork.
Oh, yeah, to sign.
Yeah.
And then, all of a sudden, we kind of get her go, boo. And I was like, whoa, hey, what? Hey,
how are you here?
What's happening?
And I'm like, she is sensei? How does this work?
And then, all of a sudden, I was really afraid that Wolfie was just going to be like, you know how, like, when Will was first kissing Riley and his like the hand motions. That's what I was waiting for.
Well, he did it a little bit because he was like gyrating a little
situation.
Bit.
Yeah.
And Felix is like, what are you doing? Nothing.
Get it together. What's happening?
What's happening?
And she's cool as a cucumber. She's like entirely.
Well, no, I mean, you can clearly see this is not her first time around.
Nope. No.
So we got some weird cluster switching.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like happening, like cluster swinging, I guess is
and
what
we
I was calling it.
A lot about clusters in this moment of like, well, if you're closer, it's easier.
Yes. Which
she
I
said
did
it
like
helps,
that he was kind of like grasping.
Yeah.
Grasping onto it.
He was.
Quite a bit. It was a
Hashtag mindfuck.
Yeah. No,
yes.
Correct.
You got it.
I mean, because I was going to say clusterfuck, and I was like, no.
It's a mindfuck.
It's a mindfuck. But, like, I had to rewatch the scene 3 different times, not because it was hot, but because I could not pay attention to what King of the North was saying.
Was he saying anything important? Because I was like, I'm just over it.
Guys, he was, or ladies, we were talking about money laundering on a big scale.
Well, Wolfie
I got
does
that
it,
Wolfie.
Where she was like, I'm really good
at this. And I was like, all right, let's try to stay on track. No. I can't concentrate.
And that was a nice way to give us exposition without being like, this is exposition, because him just kind of going like, wait, being closer. And then he also has the like, well, how am I not doing gestures? And then she has a, well, like, when you jack off, do you think of your hand? And
which
he's
I
like,
thought was a great
example. Great way to explain it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, okay.
But yeah,
so
pretty much all we got was the fact I was literally just like Felix. I was like, what the hell is this dude talking about? we've been running around this bush for like 2 episodes. So I'm like, can you just tell me? Just tell me what
happening?
It is. And just that was what it was. So he wants to do international money laundering on a big scale. Mm-hmm. And he wants to, I guess he pretty much, from what my understanding was, that he wanted to end the gang war because it's not helping him with his
he
business.
He was also anti, like, slave trading, essentially, too. He didn't like the
sex slave.
Human
trafficking.
So, human trafficking. Thank you. I'm like, what's that other word?
Yeah.
So, it's interesting that Wolfie's kind of like, money laundering. Okay, that's fine. He didn't seem too put off by it.
I mean, it's not
the worst of the crimes.
It's still
you could
a crime,
do.
But it's not the worst.
Yes,
one. I think if it was like, I'm into human trafficking. Okay, we're done. Thank you.
And walking away.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Also, I'll see you later, redhead. But like, But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. But I also feel like this is also going to start trouble.
Mm.
Just another one to add to the
you
list.
You are
of-
screwing another mob boss, like. Bro, maybe leave my boss's wives alone, like,
if this
chicks,
is Wolfie we're talking about here. He cannot keep his dick to
he
himself.
He cannot.
No.
I also like it how much Lula just has no problems. He's like, yeah, ice cream from her husband, like, constantly. He can't see,
guys,
he can't hurt him.
But you guys know what this means, right?
What?
That means that we're going to get a lot of Wolfie Kala action now, because they can totally feel like it's touching all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we already got that in the beginning, but, like...
Is anyone else excited for the Kala jealousy?
Oh, it's gonna be
so
good. I mean,
Kala, when she's jealous, is everything.
We already got glimpses of that from the holiday or the first episode, but like, I want more of it. Just to be like, oh yeah, I can like really make it feel like it's real now. And she's like, what? So it's gonna be so good.
So exciting.
But I'm worried about Wolfie, but at the same time, not. He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. And a lot of other things.
That head for thinking.
And not the second one, which is what he usually uses in most cases. But the person who does have a good head on her shoulders, which I'm still worried about because she's not out of it for real, is Sun. She had the biggest storyline in the entire thing.
Oh, my God.
Besides Will and Riley and Mr. Whispers and all that kind of stuff. But Sun, pretty much, she was doing well. She was all happy for a second because of the fact that we had a victory. But then she gets taken by some dudes that are definitely not guards.
Well, she doesn't notice that at first. She was told by Will, of like, wait, the clothes don't fit. She's like, how do you know? And at first, I was like, well, wait, why are the guards kidnapping her again? Because it's like, this has happened a bunch of times. And I'm like, no, this is the last time.
Yes, correct.
And you're like, fuck!
Yeah, no, it's insane. So pretty much, you know, I did like the fact that we, you know, we had Nomi and Neets who were about to go on their first date. I love that they're like, I need carbs. Yeah. Cheese and carbs. And I was like, pasta. Oh my God, they know me so well. and they're about to, you know, they got all dressed up and they were looking so pretty.
Even Bug is like, oh, damn, hi.
Angels.
I love Bug. He's the best. He grew on me. It took me a hot minute, but I'm proud of him.
Yes.
But yeah, but I love that immediately she turned around and someone was just like, help me. And I was like, somebody help her. She's going to die.
Get Sun out of there. Because now that we know that, like, a person in a cluster can die, like,
for
a while. But, it really bothers me and it makes me very nervous. And I'm like, oh, my God. Protect each other.
Because I'm concerned. Because we're going to get more questions about it. Because I want to talk about Jonas's dad. Because that situation really threw me off, especially from what we just saw.
So good.
So, anyway.
Okay.
So
I was going to say, we'll get to that? Okay.
Yeah, I said, we'll jump into that. So, Sun obviously gets taken into this room, which I
love.
Don't
go in there. Don't go in there.
Immediately, they're like, they turn the cameras off. Don't go in there. Anything you can. But obviously, they tased her. And I was like, I don't
like
where
this... But she fought through it. Like, after that first season, she was like, I got this. Don't worry. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
And it was rough. As soon as I saw that noose, I was like, this is going to be... This is not going to be good.
And how all the others felt the taser, too, that you're... And it was dangerous. Like, Caffeus, like, driving a bus and, having a heart attack, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. And same thing with Kala when she was actually
falling
being
at work.
Choked. Yeah, like, it's clearly... Clearly, the connection is very deep between these guys because the fact that if one person dies, that's it. No more. And
do you think they all would die?
I don't know.
Well, because Jonas is the last of his cluster, and they've all died, and he's still alive.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
I think you just feel it, and maybe pass out and wake up, which happened to them.
But
this
is so worrisome.
Absolutely.
I was just they can't kill her now. No.
No, and I don't think they would. I really don't think they would.
That
but it was
moment,
close.
They did it so well.
And like, I was not convinced that she wasn't going to die.
Yeah,
really.
I was really concerned.
I was freaking out.
I mean, I know that the ladies love her, and that they. You know, use this particular actress in a lot of their stuff, so I figured that maybe not. I hoped not, but I don't feel like anybody is safe at this point.
True, that does make sense. So, at least the one thing, even though it was very triggering for people if you're watching the show, but like the slow motion of the hanging and the fact that they were slowly starting to pass out was beautiful, triggering, but beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved just being able to see the transition, but also give it up for our savior.
Our grandma.
Yeah, I just call her Old Lady Faithful.
Yeah.
Running in there and just... I know we've seen gory stuff on this show, but that was pretty gory, seeing the broomstick go through.
Yeah.
I couldn't really recognize who that woman who was sweeping was at first.
No, it wasn't her, though.
Mm-mm.
That was someone else.
Was somebody else?
Because she was in the jail cell. And then she has that moment. She's like, I know the look they had is the same look my husband had.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knew. I was worried, too.
I definitely thought it was her sweeping, because I saw the broom, so I just assumed that was what it was.
And then the other huge thing that's like, oh, shit, is when they're all, experiencing what she's experiencing, not only were they not able to help her anyways, but they can't help her if they're also immobilized.
Yep.
So that's why I was really freaked out. I was like, how does she get out of this? Like, no one is around.
And there
was,
if she didn't come in the nick of time, that would have been it. And that would have sucked. But if they were going to do that, that would have to be a finale thing. There's no way in hell they would kill her off.
I know.
It's episode 3.
I was crying. I was freaking out.
Yeah.
And I really like the relationship she has with this woman.
Yeah.
Especially when you think back to their relationship in season 1, where at first they were getting along so well, and John was having a really hard time adjusting to prison.
Yep.
As I'm sure anybody would.
Yep.
And then to see, now, not only is she willing to risk, more jail time, but also her life, and then they're on the run together.
Yeah. So,
and oh my God, that's so beautiful.
So the scene after that, when she saves her, was so good. The editing, the flawlessness of everybody coming back
beautiful.
In and out. Because I know that in the first season they were able to kind of cheat a lot of stuff, but there's definitely a lot more effects in this one, because when Wolfie closes the door and she disappears, clearly that had to be effects. You couldn't just hide behind the door unless she went around the car, which it could have. I have no idea. But
this show needs to get an award for editing, because the editing is
in general.
I just freaking out every time.
Good.
Yeah. Well, even when she's walking down the hallway in the jail, and it was like cutting between Willie, mm-hmm. Wolfie, and her.
Or even when she walks, my favorite is when she walks out and is like, looks from side to side, and you've got, like, the searchlight, and then you see all the other sensei just following her behind.
Especially Cap, who's, like, behind her. He's like, yes! I'm gonna get to that bus, and I'm gonna drive it.
It's very Scooby Gang.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, I adore this.
Even just, like, the creep, not the creepiness, but the chill effect that I got, like, goosebumps as, like, Sun goes to one wall, Will comes out of another one, Wolfie, and then she pops back up behind the garden. I love it. It was so simple. She just, like, gently took the cigarette and was just like, ah, it was just so good. And the fact that she was like, you know how to drive a bus?
Can I drive a bus?
And it was just so adorable. And then, of course, like, I love the line of, like, how does a banker's daughter know how to become a car thief? And she's like, past lives. Just nonchalantly.
So casual. You know what? It is.
For Chinese culture, Korean culture, I'm so sorry. It is one of those. Sure. Yeah. If they believe in any sort of karma or Buddhism or anything.
I mean, you never know.
There's different religions.
I feel like just the passing
past
phrase of it. Just like, past lives. Like, I've been. Because Sun has been in some. I can say shit.
She's
been in some shit that you wouldn't expect her to be in. She was like an underground, like, mm-hmm. boxing champion. Mm-hmm. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if I only knew Sun as she presents herself that she could also steal cars.
No, correct. And I think also, it worked out really well, because what if we didn't have someone who could drive a bus? How in the hell would you get out?
It's one of those random things that falls together.
It just worked out really well. Yes, go ahead.
Do we think that the jail cell of the old woman, the cell she was in, they just didn't lock it when they left? They just shut it?
I was thinking that people are bringing that up in the chat. We don't see the door close, which to me, from
and they're
TV
not
language
guards.
Suggests to me, no.
No.
They have that kind of really cocky attitude when they came in, like, you just sit down, you're coming with us, and we're marching, I'm going to kill you. I almost wonder, like, if they were employed, because we know they're not typical guards.
Yeah.
So are they guards who took off their uniforms, put on a different uniform to kill her? Or are these hired people that were hired to the prison to kill her? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so her brother's still at it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, it totally makes sense. You know, he probably learned about the other guards that didn't, or the other bodyguards or whoever that didn't finish the job. So he's like, I'm just going to keep sending people. They have to kill her eventually.
Probably.
And he's, because we know he's not the smartest dude, clearly. So
I'm thinking they didn't lock it. Like,
I don't
think
they
didn't
care. I think they just closed it and that was it. Because they probably didn't think anyone was going to come up behind them. I don't think they were thinking that at all.
Because
even when they were trying to, like, tell that woman, like, our old lady Faithful to, like, back up, like, they were, like, struggling. He couldn't even get the gun to work. Like, it was a hot mess, which I'm totally fine with.
Yeah. And then a couple people, and we did say it, but just to re-clarify, the lady in the hallway is not the one who saved her. She was in the jail cell and exited. Some people were like, wait.
Yeah, that's what I'm with you guys.
I definitely thought
it was the same lady because she had a stick in her hand. So I was like, oh, that must be the same stick she was sweeping
with. Oh, now somebody says this was a lady with the chopsticks last season, and maybe she stuck one in the door as they were closing it. We do not see that. I don't get a close up of a chopstick beforehand, but I like that headcanon.
I'll take that every single time. That's fine. But yeah, so then we steal a car and we end up going to some lady's house, and we find out that she actually was kind of involved with some.
She had been in jail too.
Yeah,
she was a cellmate of Old Lady Faithful, and she was kind of, like, conned into being a drug trafficker after her husband,
which is unfortunate,
committed suicide because of the amount of debt that he was in.
Yeah.
And this really ruined her relationship with her son, who didn't want to be known with his drug-dealing mother. And I'm like, son, what the hell? Like, it was death or drug trafficking.
Yeah.
So cake or death. Death or drugs.
Because guess what? If I die, it's on your 10-year-old head. Like, get it together. What a jerk. I kind of hope we meet him, and I kind of hope we never see him.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixture.
Just from that story alone.
I agree. Go ahead.
Total random breakout thing that I was like, oh, yes, I love that too. Cameron in the chat said, I love Leto's bullshitting his way out of the jail.
Dude, Leto is so good at lying. And when he came up, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Is this going to work? And of course it does because it's Leto.
Yeah.
But I think about it sometimes because maybe in your colloquialism, it's not going to be the same somewhere else. So it's like, I feel like it doesn't hit sometimes.
I like the blue collar worker is kind of, it gives a feeling of like, this is a global blue collar worker issue.
Yes.
Does anybody have anything together? Just open the gate. Oh, here it is.
Well, it's nice too, because that gave me a moment too. I don't know about either of you. It's like, not that we thought Leto was a bad actor, but what we've seen the movies of, they didn't really seem like great
movies. But it also makes sense because anytime there's a foreign film, like, some of them are so good and some of them you're like, oh my God, this is so cheesy.
Well, it's more just like, nice to know that they're having mean, and be an actually good actor.
Yes, correct.
It's not just he acts in some bad stuff. It's he actually really is talented.
No, he's a really good actor.
Because, you know, sometimes the other ones are like, yeah, they're okay when they have an actor as a character. They're just all right. But okay. No, he is on the fly, great with, like, convincing people and saying things. Like, even before when Sun got attacked, they were going to do something. He's like, wait. I need to think. He's like, I have a question. And, like, that was a great... Mm-hmm. He's the good verbal bullshitter that's so
necessary
nice.
To
And I love that because a lot of... Like, I was talking to some people when season one came out. They're like, what does Leto do? Like, he doesn't have anything. I was like, no, he's a
great...
I'm like, he does a lot. He has a lot of great advice.
Yes.
He's been through both sides of the coin in that aspect.
Leto is the emotional heartbeat of this show.
Yeah, like, think about it. If Captain Planet had the heart, like, Leto would be heart. Like, that is what he would be.
Yes.
Like, there's something wrong with that. It's necessary.
Some people are saying that Cassius, though, is kind of the heart.
To me, Cassius plays the hero. So Cassius more has the sacrificial kind of thing, where Leto's not sacrificing a lot, but he loves a lot. Like, he'll go in there and, like, protect you from people saying bad
so
things.
So in my head, I see Cassius as courage, and then Leto is heart. So there's, like, a difference.
Ah,
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then we have everybody else who's, like, brute, intellectual, all that kind of stuff, which is insane, because they share a lot of traits already as a whole.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
But that was, just the entire thing was insane. So what do you think is going to happen with Sun now that she's out?
Oh, man, I had so many thoughts on this, because, like, does she and Old Faithful stay together, or is Old Faithful and her old prison buddy become, like, I don't say lesbians, because that's reductive. I think it is, because I don't think their relationship is based on any kind of sexual merit. I just think that maybe they should be best friends and live in a house and take care of each other, because they're adorable.
Yes.
But I also, I don't know, I hope she just tries to leave Korea.
Like, I hope she just
gets out of there and starts kicking butt somewhere else.
But the thing is, I don't know how she's going to get out.
I want Seoul to join up with another one of the team. Like, in person. Sun.
Yeah. She's in Seoul.
I want Sun to join up with another one of the Sense 8 team.
Yes.
Because it's like, maybe...
I think it's time.
They
maybe
can help
Will and
smuggle
Riley.
Her out.
I feel like Will and Riley could use some muscle. You know what I mean? Like,
they're
all pretty smart. They get around.
Yeah.
Will's a great cop, and he can fight. But I feel like if you put... Will could fight, like, one-on-one really well. Maybe two-on-one.
But
Sun can take, like, 10-on-1. It would be really helpful to have her around there. Especially if, for whatever reason, Will needs to start using again in order to hide.
So, speaking of Will, we should just jump into it. Because this was a lot, this episode. We got so much. So, Will and Riley, again, we were running off victory. You know, victory. And
going outside.
I loved seeing them in the sun with everybody.
Oh,
it was
that
so
was really nice.
Nice with them just getting, especially for Will. He needed that vitamin D so bad. I'm so glad that he got out and just kind of walked around, got some fresh air.
And I don't know about you guys, but I was like, oh, yeah, they get a feel, they feel his experiencing.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh, I haven't been outside. Because then they all were like, oh, this feels amazing.
Yeah, I was a little confused at first, and I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. He hasn't been out and, you know, outdoors since I don't even know how long.
It's been months.
Months. Yeah. At least, like, what? That's like 3 months, I think, or something like that.
I would say even longer. I think they've been doing this, like, 6 to 9
something
months.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. So I'm really glad that we've gotten him out of there. And, of course, we had our negotiations, which was he needed to see Jonas. Not in person, but you need to talk to Jonas.
Yeah.
I did love that entire scene of them in the interrogation room.
Yes.
With their demands and everything, and the fact that Kroom got a text from some random number and was just like,
Rita,
these are the things that we want.
That whole takedown of Whispers was so
satisfying.
Watching Whispers shrink and start to question what power he has
has
been so satisfying after he's such a huge raging dick in season one, and we could not escape him. To see them be able to, like, back him into a corner and be like, oh, hey, Whispers, no. You think.
Yep, and they took him away, too. Like, that was
The moment Whispers was like, I'm not gonna say this, and then they're like, let's text the private number, and then he's like, okay.
You outlived your usefulness, sir. You need to go.
Bye-bye.
So good.
It was really good. It was very satisfying. But then we do get to meet up with Joe. So we got to learn a lot about him when he first started.
Yes.
We got to see a lot of Angelica this episode, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm trying to, like, remember everything that Jonas said, because it's a lot. So, pretty much, we get the fact that when he first came to, I don't even know where they're at right now, that train station.
Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Well, Amsterdam was the last place Riley and Will were, but I don't know if that train station is in Amsterdam. There.
But pretty much I loved seeing the
probably
older...
in Europe somewhere.
Yeah, the older train station, and then yes. You saw his father in the middle of the train station, which I love that hugging of the invisible nothingness.
Yeah.
And we find out that his father... had 80 in his cluster.
Yeah.
Over time.
No, it's multiple clusters.
Yes, but I know that's what I meant.
So
they had 80
clusters, essentially, if you have 8 to a
cluster. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Okay. So, like, the fact that he's had this many children is what I'm saying.
That's true. We learned that you can be whatever gender and have a cluster, but we don't know how frequently you can.
Yeah, and we know that Angelica had one.
Yeah.
She birthed one.
It seems like it happens maybe at different rates for different people.
Right, it's true.
Did Angelica birth
No, this? She Angelica had more than one.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was like, there has to be more because Angelica birthed our sensei.
Yeah.
Didn't she?
She was part of a previous cluster, too. Yeah. So
I'm assuming that there's probably... You could probably multiply birth clusters, at least from what I'm seeing.
As in, like
over time. Not all at once. I think that would be, like, the worst triplets.
Too much.
How frequently? Like, is it once a year? Every five years? 6 months?
Well, what's interesting to me is that you're physically feeling the birth.
Which is insane.
It looks like Angela, she's having the birth in the forest, and I was like, oh, okay.
Because at first I thought they were having sex.
I did too.
Like,
that's what I did too.
I was very confused, because I was like, you're facing the wrong way.
I was like, your hands are nowhere near where they need to be for her to be producing the sounds. What is going on?
But maybe we were just not seeing it.
That makes me want to see a male birth then.
Oh my God, I want that
because
so bad.
They were like, I was like, okay, I get how a woman has it. That's fine. We see that scene.
Well,
then
it's a good
I'm
example.
Like, can
it's
we a- see a man's birth then?
Will, give birth to a cluster.
No, that was the first thing I thought. I'm like, Will's going to be the one, or Leto. Those are the two people I think I have to do it.
Leto
so
feels
fun.
Like the drama mother queen kind of thing.
Because I love that Leto had to go through PMS with Son, and that was really funny to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, that would be really funny if Leto was what is happening? Why am I so emotional?
Oh, well, Orin says to me, Riley would be the parent of the cluster.
Oh, that would be nice.
Imagine Leto being the cluster's
I think it'd be funny.
Yes.
I think it'd be so funny because the fact that he's just like, what's happening? What's going on? And then, like, Hernando having to be there and be like, okay, I don't know what's happening, but we're going to figure this out together.
And actually, technically, Will experienced pregnancy, too, with Riley when he had her memory.
He
looked down and there's the belly and he's like, what
the hell? Yeah.
That panic was fantastic.
The chat also had questions about Will's withdrawal off the heroin. A little bit earlier.
We've kind of skimmed over that.
We kind of, like, completely skipped over
that. Well, the show kind of skimmed over it. They were like, and he's on the side. Like, no more drug addiction.
Yeah.
Like, somebody in the chat said, call us help. She's been there monitoring.
Yeah,
so
maybe she's
helping him wean off of it in a way that helps him be less addicted. I don't know. It seems irrational to me. Somebody should have that much heroin for that many months and just be like, I'm fine.
I mean, but also, it's different because the fact that we have 8 different people in you.
Yeah,
so.
And it is spreading it out a little bit. Yeah. So wait, what were you confused about with his father?
No, that was the thing. You already cleared that up. Because the fact that I was like, wait, but how did he survive? He died, but everybody else still lived. And I was like, oh, wait, they just go through the death, but they don't actually die.
Yeah.
That was what I needed because I was like, I'm so confused, guys. That's fine. So pretty much, we find out that any gender can birth the cluster at any point in time of their lives, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There is anywhere range between the thousands to the tens of thousands, and it's completely rising from here. Epigenetic factors. I'm just putting out all the words because it was insane. But I love that it is genetically encoded. Like you can't, it can't just be a random person.
And
Kala's
question was great. I wanted that answer too. Be like, did she discover the gene? Because that's how they could find people out and
but
kill
that's
them.
But that's what that was my prediction. As I think BPO was able to figure out that they can make the gene. And they're trying to make Sense 8s out of test tubes. That is what I think they're trying to do.
I thought perhaps they were trying to isolate the genes.
Yeah, I thought they were going to find it.
Genetic tests of
children. Yeah, kind of the same thing.
Like, wipe them out before they could.
Yeah, so I was either thinking that they were going to do one or the other. They were either going to kill off the Sense 8s like completely, or they were going to harvest it and then try to make them.
And then,
so that they can use them for whatever they want, pretty much.
I mean, they fight for you and are on your side, which we got with Patrick, the blonde guy who was like didn't want to be a part of the cluster and hated what he was. And
Todd,
thank you.
And seems also like because we saw Our Lady at the end.
Yeah. Well, no. That was the thing where I wondered. Remember, there was a brief experimentation scene where Whispers was like hooked up to something, and I think
and there was a bunch
there,
of people. Yeah.
And there was a dude who just sits up, and he looked like he had like a lumbobotomy thing going on, and then he did something.
And he killed somebody.
Oh, no.
But was that a thing?
But that's what I'm saying. They could have made I don't know if these are, like, genetically grown or
I think they're ones that they've messed with, because there was a thing that I need to, I would, if you guys remember before, because it's one of those I'd have to rewatch, but I think they were taking parts out of their brains and putting into Whisper's brain or something, so he had a piece of
that
you.
That makes sense. Oh, that right, so that he can be able to connect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think that's what they're doing with Jonas? Because Jonas had a lot of equipment, like, screwed into his head.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I wonder. And then it's, or it's like, once you've physically, like, broken through, that they can control
you.
Because that guy walked like he was, like, totally, like, zombie.
Yeah, robotic. Yeah. And same thing with Our Lady. She seemed crazy. Yeah. She killed herself. Like,
yeah.
Michaela Chobb says mindless soldiers that he can control, which seems like a reasonable thing when you have an underground company and nobody knows what they're really here for. And before you had a peaceful leader and apparently was served by a bunch of crazy
folks.
So
it's very interesting because we had Kroom, we had our meeting. We had a lot with Jonas, but obviously couldn't have a lot of time with him because they were moving him again. Jeez. And I just feel bad. I really want Jonas to get out of this.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's going
to rescue.
One last piece of information Jonas gave us is that Leto has slept with someone from a different cluster.
Yes.
Who was a hot Mexican journalist.
But he didn't know that he was in
a cluster.
Which
makes me bring up a lot of new questions.
We did see that guy again. He was on the episode where they were talking to the mother of the girl who went missing. He was briefly in it.
Yes, he was briefly in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, have we seen more of him? It felt like this was a big, like, a highlight moment.
No,
like,
but he's dead, isn't he?
And this guy.
The journalist?
But we spend a lot of time with a lot of dead people.
No, that's what I'm saying. Ooh, I'm saying that, like, physically
not
we can't, like, see him.
Not necessarily, because he wasn't, I thought he was Angelica's child.
So he's not part of Angelica's cluster?
I don't think he's part of Angelica's cluster, because Angelica
So that would make sense for him to be alive, because Jonas is the last of his cluster.
Yes, which Angelica is part of,
so. That could be a thing.
I hope we meet that guy. He's great.
I mean, because Leto didn't tell us if he was still alive or not. Mm-hmm. He just said that he knew who he was, and clearly they had a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But thank you guys for helping us out with that, because I know it's a lot. There's a lot of, especially because I've watched this episode twice, but, like, you learn something new every time you watch this the episodes. It's awesome. So yeah, so that was very interesting. I'm curious to see what happens with that.
Yeah, me too.
So hopefully he's not a terrible person like Todd. But I also don't know if Todd is a terrible person. He just really didn't like himself, which is normal.
That's sad.
But I mean, it makes sense. It looked like he was a Christian.
He looked like very religious.
It looked like a very religious thing. And this you might feel this is against God. And why am I here?
Yeah.
And am I having visions?
Or at least sexual connection could be too much too.
Yeah, makes sense.
If you're falling into, like, Leto's thing and you're very
homosexual too, might be like, whoa,
might be
I'm not
lot.
That.
Yeah. It's just a lot for someone to handle, especially if you're devoted.
Did anyone else get the sense that maybe he is someone who betrayed them?
Oh yeah, that was my next question. I was like, no, that guy totally did something.
Oh yeah,
yeah, he knows something too much. Yeah. But anyway, so when we get our meeting with Kroom, and it seemed for a split second that it seemed like he was good, yes?
I was so dumb, guys, because I was watching and I was like, yes! We've got, like, a guy on the inside! And I was elevated with happiness.
No.
I was so excited. I was like, we finally have a really good setup! And then
No, as soon as he walked in, someone was painting in the museum. I'm
like,
that's weird. Nobody does that.
I knew. I was like, that girl's going to hurt somebody. I thought she was going to hurt Will. That was my first
connection. I wanted Will to notice it more. Mr.
Nah,
Cop.
I think he was just too into talking to Kroom right away.
I mean, I know, people bring sketch pads.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not
painting,
but I mean,
not a full paint setup.
No,
it's weird. It was so weird, and us as viewers, I'm like, what is she doing? Or at least I would have wanted Will to be a little bit more like,
I mean, he looked at her. Yeah.
I feel like the show did a really good job of telegraphing potential danger without giving you the full story or being like, oh, well, that chick's about to kill somebody. It still came on as a nice shock and surprise.
Oh, it was good surprise. Like,
but I like the information we get out of Kroom before he goes.
Yes.
Like, the
idea there's
that
more.
There's an us and a them in every organization.
Yep.
And for him, he was more of a return to ideals of, like, these people are different, and we can study them, we can
learn from
them.
Benefit from each other.
Yeah, I forget what the original founder's name is.
I can't pronounce it.
But she had a vision for the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then
that's how she founded it.
Somebody, we don't know who, came in and shifted directions.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know who, and I want to know how much.
Todd? No, just kidding.
Wait, do we know how long ago she founded it? It
was true.
Like,
in the 60s.
It was
said.
In the 60s. I do know that.
So,
it was a hippie kind of evolution kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, this revolution. But the person who maybe changed,
but maybe the person who changed it then wouldn't necessarily be alive or as part of it now.
Yeah, I mean,
or they'll be old.
To me, I bet she was killed.
That's what I was going to assume.
My guess is that
she didn't just die. Like, I think she was murdered for the information that she had to get ahead, sadly enough.
I'm curious who... I have a strong feeling a sensei is controlling things.
Huh. Oh.
I have a strong feeling that this is not a Homo sapien thing.
No. Brandon Shelf in the chat said, reminds me of the group from Heroes, all we need is the Haitian. And I was like, kind of. But yeah, so I mean, there, like I said, there's a lot of, as Joelle said, like, there's so many questions now. But like, again, I had that weird inkling of like, is Krum actually going to help us? And then all of a sudden, stab. I was like, okay, well,
I thought he
not
really
so much.
Was. I was so excited.
But it was to the lady playing that character, though, because her fight skills were on point.
No, it was great. The stunt coordinator was so good. Her leaping and the fact that she was able to cut Will. Like, it was intense. Also, like, you have to be sharpening those things pretty hard to, like, penetrate, like, full on, like, into the...
It was a paintbrush and a...
And whatever that thing's called.
A little spatula thing.
Yeah. That was insane. Yeah. So, and the fact that she literally was just like, and I'm compromised. Good. And I was
question.
Like,
is she compromised because Will has connected with her and she doesn't want him to have her thoughts? Is she compromised because Whisper sent her and said, once you go, you die?
No, I wanted it to be, or at least in my head, I was like, they wanted it, if Will didn't get out of there in time, he would have been framed for 2 murders. Does that make sense?
So you think she killed herself so that he would have, like, a double homicide case against
him? Kind of like that. And also that she couldn't be... She's like a witness, kind of.
I felt she accomplished her mission and it was self-destruct. Like, yeah, it was like, not an active thought. She was a robot at that point of, like...
So, like, Whispers is controlling her? Because Whispers sends that big dude after the guy in the mental hospital. Things are coming back!
Yeah.
Yes,
but
okay.
But, like, also... Because, I mean, Whispers technically started it, so...
Yeah.
And
no,
also, like,
totally.
Like, Winter Soldier, like, when the guy takes the I always forget what those capsules are called.
Cyanide capsule.
Yeah, it's kind of like the same thing, but she just didn't have one, so she just killed herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Whispers... Okay, so Whispers was controlling her.
Yeah, and he's like, I can't have any loose ends.
Yeah.
So,
who does Whispers know that's above Krum? I have questions.
I don't think that he knows anybody who's above Krum. I think he just did it.
But they took Whispers away.
But I also feel like Whispers is just a very persuasive person and was probably able to get Cole. You
now,
know what I mean?
Did anybody else think it was a little too... naive for Will to be like, Whispers is gone. I'm just going to freely run around.
I understood the elation, like the pressure there must be, like living inside a house all the time.
I was afraid. I was like, why did you do that? Why did you? No.
Can you put sunglasses on, like blindfold him and walk him to the next space
or something? Jeez.
Any kind of options, because y'all are just out here freewheeling it, like Whispers was the end all be all. This is like the entire organization.
We're all episode 3, y'all. We can't be doing this kind of freewheely shit. So how this works.
I think
it's interesting because Mr. Whispers is just, I think it's funny because we had that moment of like, oh, we got him, kind of. Yeah. But like, we also need to remember Mr. Whispers is somebody that we cannot fuck with, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I love that it just goes to black and we're pretty much just left to our devices.
Yep.
At least for us, because we have to wait.
Yeah.
But anyway, we want to know what you guys think. Overall, as you can tell from our elation, whew, that episode was insane. But I know that we're doing a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, so ladies, tell us where these beautiful people can find you.
Yes, you can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. I also do the American Gods After Show on Sundays.
Yay.
And Box Office Breakdown, where we look at what movies came out over the weekend, and then this awesome show. And on Thursdays, Handmaid's Tale with this awesome lady.
Ah! Yeah, Thursdays, you catch me here at AfterBuzz doing Handmaid's Tale, Genius,
Archer,
and then, well, it was Riverdale, but that's over now. Yay, super great show. Also, usually you can follow me right here on AfterBuzz doing Gotham. Not tonight, because I have things to do, but usually check Lucretia out, because she's going to be on there and be fun. Wednesday, Schmoes Knows, and in the meantime, you can find me on the internet as Joelle Monique, and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Awesome. Before I say my thing, I forgot to mention that we had the beta blockers.
Yes, he got the beta blockers.
I thought that they were poison. So
Colin's going to test it and make sure it's not poison first.
She better.
Yeah, I really...
I thought
that
too.
Gives you.
Yeah, I was like, God, don't take those. But you guys can find me all over social media at atorres890. I'm on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I can't list them all because I'm doing 9 shows and it's insane. But you can also find out in a couple weeks. I'm working for another podcast that's called trendpunk.com. We're going to be doing a bunch of shows there as well. Yay! And so definitely check out my Twitter. Also, you can find them at trendpunks media on Twitter. So guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We are talking about episode 4 next week. So we'll see you guys then.
Yay!
Bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, bitches.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.